At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Newsnight. Well, the news is live on Joy 99.7 FM in Accra, Love 99.5 FM in Kumasi, and on over 30 affiliates across the country. Coming up tonight, Parliament's sitting abruptly adjourned following the passing of MP for Akwitia, Ernest Yaokumi.
...of the Leader of the House, that today's proceedings be terminated. Appeal to colleagues here and then Right Honourable Speaker, but we do take an adjournment.
We have details as the news brought somberness and tears to the chamber, with colleague MPs paying tribute to their fallen member. Also coming up tonight, minority in Parliament defends record of the erstwhile Akufo-Addo government in the upstream petroleum sector as it touts several oil finds.
The minority wishes to inform the Mahama administration that the following discoveries were made during the 8 years of the Akufo-Addo Bawumia administration. The Pecan Southeast, the contractor is Ake. It was discovered in 2018.
We have more as they accuse the government of seeking to take credit for the latest oil discovery when all the work was done by the previous government. Also coming up in business.
IMF board assesses status and threats to Ghana's fund program as it gets ready to approve disbursement of some $370 million to the country.
And in sports,
Ghana's Black Queens beaten by defending champion South Africa in opening game of the 2024 Women's Africa Cup of Nations.
And a bit later, MPP supporters threaten a naked demonstration at Yoko headquarters if former Bafferstock boss Abdul Wahab Hanan is not released by close of day following his 13 days detention. We've got the latest of these and many other stories coming up tonight. My name is Kenneth Jesse. Details now. And we begin on a rather sad note as Parliament was forced to suspend its activities today to mourn the sudden passing of Akwitia MP Ernest Yaokumi. The minority leader Alexander Fenyomark announced the MP's death and paid tribute to his promising political career, requesting the session's adjournment. All scheduled business, including bills and statements, were put on hold as MPs paid their respects. Alexander Fenyomark eulogized the MP as a politician full of promise and requested that the meeting is ended.
Well, like we say, God knows best. The prayer of this house, quote, a country of righteousness where none shall wrong his neighbor, unquote. No one can ever say that in his few months in this chamber, he was controversial or wronged colleagues. He was always there, seeing him every day happy and all. Mr. Speaker, this house is aware that today we program a couple of business. The majority leader informed us last week of business for this week. It is the prayer of this side of the house, the NPP Minority Caucus, of 88, regrettably minus one, to pray with the indulgence of the Leader of the House that today's proceedings be terminated as we observe a minute of silence in his honor. Mr. Speaker, it's a very sad day. Sad day to a family, to a constituency, to democracy, to parliament, and to the people of God. We know not when any of us may receive the summons. Colleagues, let's take heart and continue with our service to Mother God. Mr. Speaker, I appreciate this treasure space to break this unfortunate news. I do so with a lot of regret and a lot of hesitation, but it's my duty to be the bearer of it.
That right there is the minority leader, Alexander Afenyomark, and may his soul rest in peace, and may his memory be a blessing. But parliamentary affairs correspondent Kwaku Asante joins me in the studio with some more. Kwaku, how did the majority leader respond to this?
Well, he was not opposed to that request that the House be stood down because of the very somber mood in the House with a lot of MPs already in tears, actually. Here's what he said about the late MP.
And arguably, this is one of the saddest days of this house. But I didn't believe it. I just thought, you know, in these our politics, sometimes people put out all sort of things. So I just thought it was. And then I got another message that said, leader is serious, it's true, very bright, as my MC leader has presented vividly. Within a short period, he had strung a number of degrees in diverse fields of study, showing that this is a very studious young man. So this is a young man full of promise, for the store of knowledge, intellect, promise for store of energy that this house needs to sustain it. The prime of his life, I mean, like minority leader has indicated, I mean, he has everything that a young man of his age will need. And to be taken away from us at this stage in his life, it's not only a loss to his family, it's not only a loss to Akwatia as a constituency, it's a loss to Ghana, because we wouldn't know where he would have ended up in terms of the leadership of this country. And you may never know what we have missed. I believe that this house has suffered a terrible blow. Appeal to colleagues here and then right over the speaker. But we do take an adjournment for today, and tomorrow we can come back and put ourselves together to be able to conduct public business. I know this is not a time for reading tributes. The family is still struggling to come to terms with what has happened. His constituency is still struggling to come to terms with what has happened. And it is not the minority caucus that has lost. It is this parliament that has lost.
And a minute silence was held in his honor.
Honourable members, may we observe a minute silence. May his soul rest in perfect peace. Amen.
I still have Parliamentary Affairs Correspondent Kuku Asante in the studio with me. Kuku, briefly, what do we know about Ernest Kumi and what will happen next in terms of filling his seat?
So in terms of his private life, very little is known, but we do know that, in fact, he was studying to become a lawyer. And, in fact, some friends have already paid tribute to him as somebody that they expected to become a lawyer pretty soon. But he entered Parliament under a lot of controversy. Those who followed will recall on the 7th of January, how the clerk to Parliament did read an injunction that had been secured against his swearing in, and he insisting that he be sworn in. Eventually, he was sworn in, and weeks after that, the court in Koforidua actually convicted him of contempt and was preparing to sentence him before he did file some actions at the Supreme Court and eventually got that conviction overturned. He was a man of very few words in Parliament. In fact, he did contribute to one statement sometime, and then he also intended to make his own statement, but the majority at the time blocked him because they said he had been convicted by a court, and for which reason they did not recognize him. And so he was not allowed to make that statement on the floor of the House. You know, he survived by three kids and a wife, and the majority leader did mention that in the speech. We're told he's a stalwart of the party in the Eastern region, yes, in Akutia, where he contested in 2020 and failed by a very slim margin, and then won that seat again in 2024. And so he is well respected within the party. The party's 2024 flag bearer, Dr. Baumia, had already put out a message eulogizing him and wishing him well as he goes to the chamber above, in the words of Alexander Fenyomaten.
Thank you very much, Kwiku. We know that he entered parliament through the opposition New Patriotic Party, and have been joined on the telephone lines by the national organizer of the MPP, Henry Nana Boache, to tell us a bit more about the man who has sadly passed away. Thank you very much, Henry, for your time. How is the party receiving this news of his
passing? Ivas, this is devastating news. Today we were having our National Executive Committee meeting at the party's headquarters when we received this unfortunate, this sad news of Ernest Kumi's demise.
That's quite unfortunate.
We have lost a smart, young, sharp, and intelligent guy. Indeed, he was one of our rising stars in Eastern Region. Very young, just about 40 years. I was with him for a conference in Brussels recently, and he was just telling me what he's gone through, the elections, the difficulties. And during the campaign period I was there, I visited his constituency, and I saw how eager and how he was managing his campaign, and I knew he was going to win this time around. Even after he won, your colleague just mentioned the kind of legal battles he had to go through and all of that.
Yeah.
Even as I can tell you that we have lost an emerging star in the MPP, and it's unfortunate, very, very unfortunate.
Mm.
I was saying on a different network that the Bible says that in all things, give thanks to God. But sometimes it's very, very difficult under the circumstance. But then that is what we have been enjoined by the scriptures to do. That in all things, we give thanks to God. To extend the party's condolences to the family and the wife, especially. And you can imagine what she's going through at this moment. A very sad period for the family. I pray that the good Lord strengthens them, gives them that boldness and that courage to go through this trying times.
That's a very sad situation there, Henry. But this is Kenneth, by the way. On a personal level, though, what was your relationship like with the departed Mr. Kumi?
Ken, beyond politics, he was a good friend. I speak to him a lot. That is why I was saying that even when we went for the conference, we shared. That was the last time I saw him, although I was talking to him. It's very, very difficult to accept this, but that is a reality. That is what it is, and it's quite sad. I saw images of when Nabu Habib was wrapping his seats with the red cloth, and it was quite sad. So these are very unfortunate times for the party, and it's very sad.
It is very sad indeed. Henry Nana Boache is the national organizer of the New Patriotic Party. Thank you very much for your time this evening. Let's still stay on this sad story and speak to Akwesi Azor, who is in Achim Wenchi, around the constituency of the departed Mr. Kumi, his hometown. We understand Achim Wenchi is his hometown. Let's get Kwesi Azor on the line and speak to us right now. Kwesi, thank you very much for your time. How are people in Ernest Kumi's hometown receiving this rather unfortunate news?
If you can hear me, I'm currently at Aksem Wenchi, where NS Yafumi was his hometown. Residents here are very sad. I got here around 4 p.m., and you can see from their faces how they are mourning Honorable NS Yafumi. I decided to go to his home, where the mother is. The mother is not feeling well, so I decided to go and have a word with the mother. Unfortunately, what I heard was, upon hearing the shock, the information, the mother has Celtic, so they decided to send the mother to hospital. There is a quite very sad development over there. I decided to speak with the brother. He also said they have received the news, and they are preparing to go to Accra to meet the wife and the family so that they can see what they can do. Currently, residents and people of Atim Wenchi are very sad. They are in their street, clad with red and black, mourning NS Yakume. His popular name is Akwesia Starboy. Currently, they are mourning him. A lot of them are saying he's a very good man, kind man, and dedicated for the job. And they are surprised after hearing the sad news. So currently, Atim Wenchi is very down.
Mm. You spoke about the mother. What's the mother's current condition right now? Is she stable?
I called one of the uncles, and he says the mother is stable at the moment. Upon hearing the news, I'm told the mother is not well. She's suffering. She's very sick in the house. Upon hearing the news, the mother went down. So they decided to take her to the hospital. So currently, she's receiving treatment at the hospital currently.
Okay, Kwesi Azor is a reporter at Achim Wenchi, the hometown of the departed Ernest Kumi there, bringing us up to speed with how the mood really is in that particular area, how they are receiving the sad development of his passing. You can also join the conversation live on our WhatsApp platform is 055-11-11997. Let's still stay in Parliament, but this time on a different matter, as the minority in the House is defending the record of the erstwhile Akufo-Addo government in the upstream petroleum sector. Following the announcement of the new Eban Akuma oil and gas discovery, some persons in government have claimed the previous government collapsed the upstream petroleum sector. But addressing the news conference in Parliament, Deputy Ranking Member on the Energy Committee, Collins Adomako Mensah, highlighted a number of developments in the sector, which he attributes to the previous Akufo-Addo government's foresight.
In Ghana's upstream petroleum industry, it is a contract or operator that has the duty of informing the state of the outcome of any approved appraisal program. That is what ENI did recently. The Mahama administration, for self-serving purposes, has sought to convert this normal reporting to a fanfare whose course is attributable to it, even though it is barely 7 months in office. The Mahama administration ought to learn that the upstream sector requires a lot of patience and deliberate planning whose results are not attainable in such non-existent record times as it has disingenuously sought to communicate on the premises of statements of doubtful validity. For the record, the minority wishes to inform the Mahama administration that the following discoveries were made during the 8 years of the Akufo-Addo Bawumia administration. The Pecan Southeast, the contractor is Ake. It was discovered in 2018. It is projected. Initial estimated volume is 10 million barrels of oil. The Nyankom 1X AGM, discovered in 2019. Initial estimate is 168 million barrels. The Afina 1X Springfield, discovered in 2019. Initial estimation is 150 to 300 million barrels of oil. The Akuma 1X ENI, which is what we are talking about now, also discovered in 2019. The Iban 1X, 2021. The above table showing the discoveries will reveal that between 2018 and 2022, a total of 7 discoveries out of 6 wells drilled were made. ENI's Afrakuma 1X well resulted in 2 discoveries, of what at what the geoscientists call the Albian level and the Cenomanian level, hence the count of 7 discoveries out of 6 wells that were drilled under the Akufo-Addo-Bahumia administration.
The minority also describes as disingenuous any claim that the latest Eban Akoma oil and gas discovery is attributable to the Mahama administration.
It is instructive to note that both the Akoma and Eban discoveries were made under Akufo-Addo-Bahumia administration and were, among other discoveries, made under that administration as a result of a deliberate plan for reserve replacement. The Akoma and Eban discoveries were all made within Cape 3 Point, Block 4 contract area under the Cape 3 Point CPT Block 4 Petroleum Agreement, which came to Parliament. ENI, as required by the CTP Block 4 Petroleum Agreement, formally issued 2 separate notices of discovery to the then Minister of Energy, the Petroleum Commission, and the Ghana National Petroleum Corporation. These discoveries were also announced or published by sections of the Ghanaian media. As provided for by the CTP Block 4 Petroleum Agreement, ENI is to meet its obligation to conduct appraisals of each of the 2 discoveries. Of each of the 2 discoveries, which is Akoma and Eban, requested the Akufo-Addo administration, Bahumia administration, to be permitted to effect a single but joint appraisal of the 2 discoveries to save costs and also fast track the appraisal program to result in a shorter field development to production cycle in the event that the discoveries are found to be commercial upon appraisal. Minority wonders how the Mahama administration, that had nothing to do with the drilling of the Akoma and Eban exploration wells, as well as approval of the appraisal program of the 2 discoveries, will all of a sudden claim that the results of an Akufo-Addo-Bahumia administration approved appraisal program that has resulted in the declaration of commerciality a credit to it.
That right there is the deputy ranking member on the Energy Committee, Collins Adomako-Mensah. Let's get on the telephone lines and speak to the spokesperson and head of communications at the Energy Ministry, Richmond Roxon. Thank you very much for your time this evening. The minority seems not to be happy. They say it is disingenuous that any claim that the latest Eban Akoma oil and discovery is attributable to the Mahama administration. Do they have a point?
Good evening, Ivan, and good evening to your...
This is Kenneth, by the way.
Oh, sorry, Kenneth, sorry. Good evening to you. If there's anyone or any party that is engaging in that some level of disingenuity, it will be the New Patriotic Party and the minority. The first point that has to be made is that you would notice that carefully, whilst they were on with their press conference, they failed to mention or refer to the specific date that the Petroleum Agreement was signed. The Cape 3 Point Block 4, which covers 1,127 square kilometers, which is a joint venture between ENI and Ghana, Vitol Upstream, Woodfield, Exploco, and GMP, was signed in April 2016. The effective date actually was 14th April 2016. They, as a party at the time, opposed this in Parliament when it was supposed to be ratified. In fact, before this, ENI and government together with GMPC and Vito were doing an offshore Cape 3 Point, which had to do with Sankofa and Sankofa Field. They opposed that as well. And together, they even petitioned the Italian Prime Minister at the time and accused the Mahama government that it had inflated the contract. So I'm surprised that they are so eager to claim credit for where they did also. They played absolutely no role when it comes to these discoveries. The point also must be made that under their administration, they made upstream very hostile. And these are facts. You had a lot of super majors coming to Ghana and eventually leave the country. you had our exploration efforts stall and our reserves decline. That is their record. So they should not seek to score political points when there is none. I wish they were on the call, would have asked them whether they signed the petroleum agreement. If they signed any petroleum, or they give the license to the joint venture parties. That's not what they did. That was done, like I mentioned, as far back as 2016. And the minister that signed the petroleum agreement was Emmanuel Ufiamabua, who was petroleum minister at the time.
Okay. Okay. Roxanne, so how will this new discovery help the upstream petroleum sector?
The first point is that it's good news for Ghana. In the last few years, we've had our upstream facing significant challenges. And you will recall that at the point under the previous administration, there was even a transition directive that was issued for ENI, which became a subject of litigation in Ghanaian courts and also arbitration. These developments mean that the government is ready and willing to welcome all players into the sector. The government is creating the enabling environment to ensure that our resources are used for the people of Ghana. To ensure as government, led by the minister responsible for energy and green transition, Honorable Gina Boyd, and also the president, to create the environment where exploration goes on, will increase drilling opportunities, which is something that in the last few weeks we've also seen ENI and Tango as well.
Right.
So it's generally good news for the country. And
right.
It's good that we are becoming the darling of investors again.
Roxanne, there have been several concerns that the petroleum sector is infiltrated with a lot of foreigners. With the discovery of, with this new discovery, are we going to see the involvement of more local participation?
So the first, in fact, when you look at the partners, we have local companies in there already. We have Woodfields. Woodfields is a local company. GMP is Ghanaian State Institution. We have a local, which is a subsidiary. And more importantly, we have a local content law when it comes to upstream. So already the airline is that you should always have Ghanaian participation in some of the things. So you'll be rest assured that the people of Ghana will benefit from it.
Richmond Roxanne is the spokesperson and head of communications at the Energy Ministry. Thank you very much for your time this evening. Let's do some more politics. As supporters of the opposition New Patriotic Party have vowed not to leave the headquarters of the Economic and Organized Crime Office, YOCO, if the former buffer stock boss, Abdul Wahab Hanan, who has been in detention for 13 days, is not released by the close of day. Abdul Wahab Hanan and his wife were arrested by YOCO on the 25th of June over alleged financial crimes. Now, his wife has since been granted bail, which was set at 30 million Ghana cedis. But Hanan, according to authorities, is yet to satisfy the conditions of his 60 million Ghana cedis bail. Well, former Greater Accra regional youth organizer of the party, Moses Abo, said his continuous detention in YOCO custody was unlawful and threatened a naked demonstration.
First of all, he has met the bail condition. This is politics. They are playing as politics. We have met the bail condition even more than that, but they are showing us power. Nobody's even answering the call. The boss and his deputy, we've been calling them since 2 days ago. They are not answering the call. Our lawyer was here Saturday. We knew very well that Saturday we were going home with our brother. But unfortunately, we didn't have him, and he's still there till now, 13 days. All I want to tell this country is that, look, Ghana is not for NDC, sorry. Ghana is for all of us. 3 years is just around the corner, and Ghanaians will decide. Also, I'm calling on the religious body, international communities, Peace Council, that what is going on is not good for this country. Ghana is not like this. And look at how what is Raymond Acha is treating us. Someone who has credibility, a responsible person with wife and children, you will just lock him up for just 13 days and nobody is saying anything about it. No Christian religion is talking about it. Peace Council is not talking about it. I am calling on international community to come in because Ghana is a peaceful country. If care is not taken, people may advise themselves. They are doing this to silence our party. They are doing this to put fear and panic in some of our leaders. But we are telling them that, look, no matter what they will do, no matter what they will do, MPP, we are united. We are coming like Kakai. And with 2028, there is no go area for MPP. It will definitely be MPP. And I'm advising them. And those who are behind it, you are young. Don't allow yourself for any political party to use you to be intimidating people.
So share your thoughts with us on the stories we've run by you so far on our WhatsApp platform, 055-1111-997. It's now time for business, and George Rafi is here with the latest. George, what's up?
Well, a lot of things are happening, or a lot of things are happening in business when you said what's up, because the IMF board is currently assessing the status and threats to Ghana's fund program as it is actually getting ready to approve some $370 million to the country.
Right.
And they are currently meeting in Washington, D.C., looking into Ghana's program.
Right.
But the 22 executive directors of the board and what we are picking up is that they are likely to approve 370. But what people will be looking out for is what are the concerns that they'll raise about the fund program,
right,
and threats as well. And can I, let me ask you, for those who came to town last year during the December in Ghana, any idea the average spend?
Oh, I saw in the news there was $3,000.
Okay, but that was it's more than actually close, right. $2,600 just within that 2 weeks in Ghana.
That's a lot, isn't
average it? Average spent by an individual. And I'll be getting you more on that on the latest tourism right. report released for last year.
Okay, so George, does that mean that with the money being ready to hit our accounts, what is it going to do for the economy, the CD and all that? Is it going to?
I think that for many people, it's about the confidence or right. what is the fund saying about the program. I think that the money for a lot of people is not that really important. What is the fund saying about the economy?
Yeah.
And also, what are the development partners going to look at this and react to the economy, as well as investors? Mean that you're on track with those critical structural reforms and what that would do by bringing in additional funding from right. the World Bank and the development partners. And even you're talking about resuming the floating of domestic bonds and right. even possibly going on to the international market. And how that would send that signal. That is more the important thing here than the $370 million. That should hit Bank of Ghana's account before Friday, actually.
That's some good news.
The Business News on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business. Kingdom Books and Stationery, your number one stop shop for all your office essentials. And the thanks and President Hebal and Chako. You welcome back to Business on Newsnight. Now, the IMF board is currently scrutinizing Ghana's program of the fund by its executive directors in Washington, D.C. There is more in the following Business Text report.
The executive board of the IMF is currently reviewing Ghana's program in a board meeting in Washington, D.C., USA. The country's program is before the executive directors after Ghana reached a staff-level agreement with the government of Ghana in April this year. Persons close to the board have indicated that Ghana will pass the assessment. This is because they have met almost all the critical targets needed. Again, we understand it is often hard for a country's program to be submitted and it would not get the necessary approvals. This is also because of the work that the staff of the IMF does even before the executive board meets to scrutinize the program performance of a member country. Well, another important thing that Maine will be looking out for will be whether there are any threats to Ghana's program and whether government may have to implement additional measures to help stabilize the economy and whether we are on track to complete the program in May 2026.
And that is a Business Desk report. Meanwhile, economist Professor Patrick Osumi has maintained that he doesn't expect any surprises at the end of the meeting later this evening.
If you look at how much progress the new government has made and its commitment to the objectives of the program and the fiscal consolidation agenda, the board of the fund should be impressed with what they have seen. So I don't expect any difficulties at all. And I think the other conditions that were required, it appears that the government has met all of them. So now, what should government be doing to sustain? I think keeping the reforms it shouldn't seek to pass laws and regulations and reform measures just to tick boxes, but the road should be deepened. And why it's doing that, I think the government needs to start making the investment in the real sector to ensure that now we are riding on a wave of confidence and good feeling about a new government. I think that one will die out soon. And when that has happened, it is fruit from the real sector investment that we begin to tell us how much progress we've made. So I think it's absolutely important that the government knuckle down and start the real sector investment. It was good that it launched the 24-hour economy, but that's only on paper. We need to begin to see implementation.
And that is economist Professor Patrick Esumi. Now, the average expenditure by each tourist or international visitor that came to the country during the December in Ghana last year was more than $2,600. This was captured in the 2024 tourism report. Now, these are spending that covered accommodation, entertainment, food, beverage, and shopping. The report also showed the majority of these visitors came from the United States of America, whilst others also stayed in private properties and hotels. Now, the ECOWAS Bank for Investment and Development has dismissed claims that its agreement with engineers and planners for acquisition of Black Volta Gold Project had some political influence. Now, speaking at the signing ceremony of the $130 million facility agreement, engineers and planners and Azuma Resources Ghana, president of the bank, George Donko, emphasized the project's economic significance.
And so, engineers and planners, being one of our good customers, we decided that we should be involved in the acquisition of this Black Water project. And as he said, we started about 2 years ago. So it means that all the due diligences and all those things have taken place. So please, let us be mindful of this. As Dr. Samjona said, this project has nothing to do with politics. Please take note of that. 2 years ago, Mr. Ibrahim's brother was not in power at all. And we started in 2023. By the grace of God, we are almost there, and today is the historic signing of this very, very important project. Now, engineers and planners, as I said, has not only been a good customer, but we have had very strong relationship with them in terms of supporting the initiative that we have undertaken over the years.
And that is the president of the ECOWAS Bank for Investment and Development, Dr. George Donko. Now, the former General Secretary of the Trades Union Congress, Dr. Anthony Yaba, has been appointed as the new chairman of the reconstituted seven-member board of the Ghana Statistical Service. Now, other members of the board include the government statistician, Dr. Lhasin Idrisu, also the director of research at the Ministry of Finance, Nelly Miraku, and also the first deputy governor of the Bank of Ghana, Dr. Zakari Mumuni, also is on the board of the reconstituted of the Ghana Statistical Service. Now, inaugurating the board, the minister, deputy minister of finance, actually charged them to strengthen the statistical system currently in the country, use and gathering data on the economy and even inflation as well. Let's turn attention to the stock market. If you are a shareholder of MTN, though, some good news for you, because it was up by 2 pesos to close at 3 Ghana cedis. That of Guel was also up by a peso to close at 2 Ghana cedis, 1 peso. And that's all for business on Newsnight. Let's talk sports. And Scranting is here.
Yeah, in the news, Ghana's Black Queens were beaten by defending champion South Africa in the opening game of the 2024 Women's Africa Cup of Nations. 2 quick fire goals in the first half from Linda Motalo and Jermaine Seposenwe were enough to claim a 2-0 win for the South Africans. Ghana, who are making a return to the competition for the first time since 2018, will be hoping to get positive results against Mali and Tanzania in their other Group C games in order to stand a chance of qualifying to the knockout rounds. In other stories, Sports Minister Kofi Adams has issued a strong warning to individuals encroaching on lands around the Botiman Sports Complex, urging them to vacate immediately. The minister gave the directive during a visit to the facility to inspect ongoing works and assess its current state.
I want to send a message to all those who either are paying for land in this area, this space, from where the wall is for the facilities, all the way to the stream, which serves as a boundary for the land acquired from University of Ghana by government for the purposes of developing sports infrastructure, not to continue with the transaction. Those who are engaged in construction, who have paid already, and are constructing, it's better for them to stop.
Our sports minister, Kofi Adam, speaking there, bringing an end to sports. Back to you guys.
Well, thank you very much, Daniel. You're still listening to News 9 here on Joy 99.7 FM in Accra, Love 99.5 FM in Kumasi, and on over 30 affiliates across Ghana's 16 regions. Let's bring you more stories tonight as lawyers for chief priestess turned evangelist Patricia Siedu, popularly known as Nana Agradaa, have filed an appeal against her 15 years jail term. Nana Agradaa was sentenced by an Accra Circuit Court for defrauding people through a false money doubling scheme. Well, her lawyers have today filed an appeal to challenge the sentence's severity. My colleague James Avigi joins us on the telephone lines with details of the court document. And James, what specific reliefs are the lawyers seeking?
Ken, if you can hear me, they are seeking two key things with which they place some basis to as well. The key relief they are seeking is that the conviction and sentence should be set aside as a judgment is in their words unreasonable and cannot be supported by the evidence on record, and that too, the whole trial is wrong in law. The grounds for their release varied from the fact that they said that the trial judge denied the petitioner fair trial by calling her to prove her innocence when prosecution had led no or sufficient evidence contrary to Article 19(2)(c) of the Constitution. He also said that the trial judge demonstrated manifest bias and personal animosity towards the petitioner, which is the Nana Agradaa, by persistently engaging in confrontations, harassment, and intimidation of the accused lawyers in open court, thereby denying her adequate and effective representation. Finally, that the sentence of 15 years in hard labor is harsh and excessive, taking into consideration the circumstances of the case. What is important to note is that the appeal is filed in the absence of the full written ruling of the judge. So what it means is that they are likely to amend this appeal when the full or final ruling is finally given out under the hands of the judge who presided over the case.
Well, thank you very much, James. Away from the court, the farming community of Nipahiamwa is appealing for help to save its only basic school from collapse. Built by villagers nearly 30 years ago, the structure is now held up by wooden pegs and closes whenever it rains. Anna Sabit reports that pupils and teachers are now hauling sand to rescue what is left.
Along the Techimalkintampo Highway lies the farming community of Nipahiamwa. Its future embodied in its only school, the Nipahiamwa Basic School, built by the community themselves back in the year 1994 with the hope for their children's future. 30 years on, that hope is crumbling. What you see here isn't just an old building. It is a structure being held together by sheer will and these wooden pegs, a desperate measure to stop it from falling down on the pupils inside. Aduya Da Costa is the headmaster of the school.
We have a lot of challenges in the school. As we can see from the footage, we have challenge of office, we have challenge of school building.
Behind me, these four classroom spaces, built by the community with these wooden boards, houses from KG 1 and 2 through to primary 6.
We do multi-grade. Multi-grade in the sense that class 6 and 5, class 4 and class 4 and 3, class 2 and 1. That's how we manage things here. And it does not help teaching and learning.
Well, and so that huge mango tree there is the staff common room. It serves as the office space also. But the sad aspect of the whole situation is that where to keep teaching and learning materials is a huge challenge.
Where to even keep our school materials, especially teaching and learning materials.
Faced with neglect and lack of immediate help, The community isn't just waiting. Teachers and pupils are literally taking matters into their own hands. We met them upon our arrival, hauling sand to try and shore up a section of the classroom floor that's given away, a stopgap measure for a crisis needing a permanent solution. The resilience of Nipa Nyamoe's teachers and pupils carrying sand to save their own classrooms is both inspiring and deeply troubling. This school, built on community hope 3 decades ago, is now a symbol of neglect. The pegs holding it up won't last forever. The people here have an appeal to authorities and philanthropists.
Yana ya twendu ya toa akotu na tewo ha sebegu tika esrom sin komere unsi school dem mai.
This community seriously needs help, and someone somewhere watching us now needs to come to their aid to help rescue the futures of these young ones here. From Nipa Nyamoa, here in the Bono East region, my name is Anas Sabdi, reporting for Joy News.
They are the reigning Central Regional Champions, and they just sent another bold reminder of why. Addis Adel College, defending their title, has delivered a commanding performance in their opening contest, recording the highest score so far in the regional qualifiers. But while Addisco's win drew cheers, it was heartbreak once again for Holy Child School. For the second year running, they've been knocked out, and this time by Winneba Senior High School. Here are excerpts.
Too soft. We don't. It wasn't a contest at all. It wasn't a contest at all.
I'm very excited. I'm very elated. My boys, they didn't learn. They were playing game. This contest is that down ball. It's a down ball contest for us. You get it? Hey, we are going to win the national.
It must certainly have been fun, but let's get on the telephone lines and speak to our man and woman on the ground for us for the NSMQ. We have Adobia Sare in the Western region. We also have Collins Frimpon in the Bono region. Let me start with you, Adobia. We know that Addis Adel has won and Holy Child is out, but what else don't we know?
Well, let me start from Kenneth. The 2025 National Science and Math Quiz Central Regional Qualifiers continues unabated. The theme is intense, it's electrifying. Only 3 slots were available today, and 16 schools had to battle for them. So the Naman SHS have won themselves a first slot. The second sound you're listening to of the students happily saying their students didn't even learn were students of Winneba Senior High School after they kicked out Holy Child. Holy Child, for the second consecutive time, has been kicked out of the contest. They did their best, but unfortunately, it wasn't enough. And since they didn't score 40 points, they won't even participate in the national level. Now, reigning regional champions, that's Addis Adel College, crowned the day with a very beautiful showdown. They scored 85 points, Ken, which is the highest recorded so far since the competition began. Now, they say they are claiming this year's regional championship title again. And not only that, they are coming for the national championship title as well. So today has been eventful, seeing all these schools work so hard to win. But of course, only 3 slots were available. So 3 of them won, and 12 of them definitely have to go home.
Right.
Going to work hard to come next year again.
Better luck next time to them. Thank you very much, Adobia. Well, Collins has left the Bono region and headed to the Upper West region. Collins, thank you very much for joining us tonight. But how was it like in the Upper West region? Who won and who is going home?
We had 5 qualifying. We were supposed to know mostly the one who wins the contest qualifies, but he's able to secure 40 points and he doesn't even win the contest. He makes it to the national championship. So we have a show like that. Laura has secured 44 points earlier today. and they qualified for the national championship, even though they didn't win their contest. That hands on also in there for that point. Now, last year, the two of them lost home and strong qualified, they get the points over there. So this year, it was really a battle that both of the schools wanted to have and bragging rights. Other contests also happened. We all know our own rugby around among Mesa, YLT, Chet, and the interesting part is, all the three contestants that we were on stage, none of them have a technology background over there. So, well, it will be a difficult thing for them to think that they've been studying the biology on their own. So, it was an interesting thing. But the third point is that even though the Francis JGB seminar qualified, you know, they've been to the finals before 2012 and 2014, we were all in the finals. But this time around, even though they qualified, they got to the 2 points, and it was a disappointing thing for the supporters. But we are hoping to get the amends in the national championship.
Collins Frimpong from the Upper West Region. Thank you very much. Be sure to catch everything NSMQ on Joy News, Joy 99.7 FM, and across our various social media platforms. Well, let's bring a few of your messages that you've been bringing in. This is from Philip Abochi in Keta. He says, "Oh, tears dropped from my eyes when I heard the news this afternoon. The family of the late Ernest Kumi should accept my condolences." This is from Musa Abatua in Aswasi. He says, "Minority of these critics are just making noise, trying to create something out of nothing. The truth is, by all intents and purposes, we are witnessing more viable and stable energy production now than we ever did under the Akufo-Addo Bawumia administration." This is from Charles in Lagos. He says, "The NDC brought equipment to resolve Dumso in 2016, but the MPP dubiously claimed credit for ending Dumso." And this one is from Kotoka Carriage in Aluga. Aluga Lashibi in the Volta region. It says, "This is indeed very devastating news about the untimely demise of Ernest Yaokumi." And those are a few of your messages you have been sharing with us. Let's head to the Ashanti region now, where the Komfuanochi Teaching Hospital in Kumasi is urgently seeking to build a catheterization laboratory after the tragic death of one of its emergency physicians, Kwame Edu Ofori. Dr. Ofori suffered a heart attack, and despite his colleagues' efforts to save him, they couldn't perform the necessary procedure to open the blocked blood vessel due to the absence of a cath laboratory at the hospital. He was being transported to Accra for treatment, but sadly passed away en route. The lack of this critical facility has raised concerns about Ghana's medical infrastructure, particularly in public health services. Emmanuel Bright-Kweku reports.
It was a gloomy weekend at Ghana's second largest teaching hospital, the Komfuanochi Teaching Hospital, after health professionals watched helplessly to seek urgent medical attention for a colleague who suffered a myocardial infarction, otherwise known as heart attack. A specialized area to perform a minimally invasive procedure to diagnose and treat an obstructed blood vessel to his heart was missing at Ashanti region's foremost hospital. Despite immediate response to stabilize him before being transported to the national capital for proper care, he died on the way. CEO of CATH, Dr. Pakwesi Bedu, recounts moments of the unfortunate demise.
Three consultants accompanied him to the airport, and then one specialist and two critical care nurses accompanied him on the flight to Accra. We were in constant touch from takeoff to touchdown. So when they got to Accra, we were told, oh, they've arrived safely and he was okay. So they transferred him. Arrangements again were made to send him to UGMC, University of Ghana Medical Center. They also have the cardiac cath lab. We got the unfortunate news later. So it's devastating.
Dr. Kwame Edu Ofori, before his passing, was an emergency physician at the hospital who contributed actively to providing emergency medical care to critically ill patients, but sadly couldn't save himself. Despite calls for successive governments to construct a cath lab for the facility, it has fallen on deaf ears.
We have two, the monoplanar, biplanar. These are technical terms. The best one is the biplanar, is able to do everything. And it costs between $1.2 to $1.5 million. The ministry is working on it. NHIA boss, Dr. Victor Vampo, and the team are working on it. In fact, This morning they are having a meeting to make sure we have one again in Kulebu, one in Kumasi, and one in Tamale. And it's a matter of urgency.
The similar situation is mirrored in public health facilities across other regions in the country. The construction of the facility will be the first and foremost in the 67 years of existence of the hospital serving the Ashanti region and the northern part of Ghana. The unfortunate incident has since ignited concerns amongst workers at the hospital on the inadequate medical infrastructure.
Well, that's it for News Tonight. Thank you very much for being a part of the show. My name is Kenneth Jesse. Have a good night.